Subcommittee will please come to order. We have, what do we have? We have Senate Bill 524, Dietitians Work Session. You'll recall that when we took this up in a hearing, what is it, a week ago or so?
17th of April.
17th of April. How time flies. I have so much fun in Nancy's committee. That question here had to do with the fees, therefore the budget, and then the other unanswered question was how to provide for the transition loan necessary to get this started until the adequate funds have come in from the fees. First, let's look at the fee suggested here. Yes, please. We also have, oh, I see it's not all on there. All right. So there'd be an application fee of $40. License fee of $110. Is that supposed to? Would you explain the application fee and the license fee?
Mr. Chair, the application fee would be the initial fee that a dietitian paid one time. Thereafter, the license would be paid, and it would be it's almost to be called a renewal fee rather than a license fee.
Okay.
Is that an annual fee? How often do they pay the license fee?
Mr. Chair, Senator Crow, they're proposing in an amendment that is handwritten to have it be every 2 years, a license every 2 years.
Okay. Is this the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
So we got the amendment?
Yes.
Proposed amendments, okay. Senate Bill 524-A4 amendment. What's the A4? That's a little new.
I got A engrossed here, and it doesn't have those in it. So is this really B?
Oh, these are proposed amendments to A engrossed Senate Bill 524. Yeah. That's what the A means.
Okay.
It's the fourth proposed amendment.
To 524-A.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I'm trying to find in my file here, A. Engrossed. Here it is. So the first one, page 2 of A. Engrossed, line 20. 9 would make the license fee for 2 years rather than 5 years. So that would be the $110 every 2 years. And line 34 changes the education requirements to make it as an alternative. Present evidence of minimum continuing education requirements of the American Dietetic Association. Health Division appoints the members. Let's see what members is that. Page 3, line 2. It makes it clear that the Board of Examiners are appointed by the Health Division. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And before there was no indication of who would do the appointment.
Should we Health Division or the?
I think they checked it out and thought, you know, for many boards and commissions, the governor does the appointing, but the governor's office indicated that they thought they had enough people to do the appointing for, and there is a precedent for the Health Division doing the appointing for such commissions like this, and that should make sense for the Health Division to do.
Does that mean the director of the Health Division, or does it mean the head?
It's done through the Health Division. I don't know who
should read Health Division.
Mr. Chair. The assistant administrator.
The assistant administrator. That language isn't in here. I think that should be the assistant.
Does the language need to be there, or can just Health Division do it?
That's like saying the other appointments are done by the office of the governor.
Yeah, I guess.
Which is true. All right, so the Health Division is all right. We don't have to say it. On line 36 of page 3. Conduct hearings on complaints concerning violations of this act and the rules adopted under this act, period. Can somebody explain this one for me? Want to come forward? What would be the purpose of having a hearing if you come on up, if you, okay. If you would please identify yourself for the record?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Joni Fisher, and I represent the Oregon Dietetic Association. My understanding when we left here the other day, the concern was that we not be able, or the board not be able to cause any kind of, I wanted to say persecution, I meant prosecution.
Right.
And so it was, I think we worked and we crossed out the last portion of line 36.
Okay, and that is taken care of then on section 16, where the district attorney shall prosecute all persons charged with violation.
Yes.
Okay, but that's really what I wanted.
Okay, well, we deleted the part in line 36, and then we deleted section 16 and 17.
Right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You may have created another difficulty here, though. You're conducting hearings as a board. In rules adopted, I assume you're going to have to adopt the Administrative Procedures Act rules. Now, what's your enforcement capability as a board then?
The enforcement capability would be to yank the license.
Is this license still voluntary under this provision?
Yes.
This is still, so you revoke
yes.
a voluntary license?
We'd revoke a voluntary license. So that you could no longer use the title of
so
the license.
So someone then uses it without properly being designated at that, what's your recourse then?
My understanding is that we work with the Attorney General, and the Attorney General enforces it.
The enforcement part is in section 16 on page 4.
But that's the part we just eliminated, isn't it?
No, you eliminated it. You moved it down.
Let's
see, no, you didn't eliminate that.
Yeah, they deleted 17, delete line 17 through 31.
27
to 31.
Okay,
that's
okay. Now let's backtrack here. 27 through 31.
Yeah, that's the.
Well, it's the district attorney.
Any district attorney. That's proposed in these amendments. I don't see how anything would be enforced under this then.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
If I could help out maybe, and I don't want to clarify, I want to make sure they're clear going in. Section 14 of the bill talks about refusal to issue or renew a license or can propose to suspend or revoke a license, which is there. The opportunity for hearing is provided under the ORS statutes. Now my question is there, what is the authority under those statutes to enforce a finding or revocation? And do you know what currently
Mr. Chair, Representative Burton,
What that section cites is the Administrative Procedures Act.
Right.
Yep.
So the enforcement by the Attorney General under the, I mean, with a voluntary license, I don't know what it would be, but it would be a revocation of registration, and I don't know what kind of weight that would carry under the provisions of the Act. Well,
seems to me that you ought to at least leave in Section 17.
Mr. Chair, none of the other boards, I mean, I can just speak, Carla Wenzel, Executive Department, for the record, I can just speak to the other boards. None of the other boards, with perhaps the exception of the medical board, has a violation of its act be criminal. Yeah. And it's just, when you're playing with somebody's license or somebody's livelihood, the licensing boards have thought that the revocation of that license in and of itself has some weight, and you don't need to be messing around with criminal statutes or making something.
Well, what if the person isn't licensed, but they represent themselves as being licensed? Then the board can't do anything. There isn't anything to revoke. Nor is there any penalty for it. I don't find it anywhere. Maybe it's in here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think probably that the only authority then that the board has is to write a letter or saying that they are not in fact a licensed dietitian and they don't meet these standards, if someone asks or if they're made aware of it. And I think that's the only authority that the board is actually looking for.
Well, then that person could write you back a letter and say, that's right.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
They just couldn't advertise as a license.
Yes, they should. There's no penalty for advertising. Maybe, I guess.
One of the concerns, I would assume that eventually somebody's looking for third-party reimbursement under health care provisions. And if you have, if you get to the point where you're talking about designation that way and for third-party reimbursement, then you've got to have some ability to identify this person's scope of practice to fall into those procedures. And I don't know where you're excluding anybody from that with any teeth in it, and that's the question in my mind.
Mr. Chair, Representative Burton, we are excluding certain people. You have got to meet certain qualifications to come in. Now the question is whether or not there's enough teeth. Once you find that, whether or not you cannot, we do not have. They do have the ability to levy a fine.
What happens with what's a close kind of board to this that's already licensed? Is there any voluntary board?
What do you mean by voluntary?
Well, this
voluntary registration.
To some extent, a voluntary licensing procedure. I think if you don't, yes, you're not in a club. That's why I'm trying to find some hammers so that you can't. You know, I agree with you. I think there's something in here that seems to be missing to sort of give them some teeth that they would appear to need.
A lot of licensing boards would give them the ability to invoke civil penalties. I don't think we want to. They haven't asked for that, but they have that ability in some licensing boards. And this one, they didn't ask for it. Their primary hammer is to lift the license.
But you can't lift the license for violation of not having a license.
All right. If they don't have the license, then I would think they would have the authority to communicate with people that this person is not a licensed dietitian, and certainly communicate that fact, publicize that fact, let people know that fact. And that, I suppose, is all the penalty you have. But if they're not a licensed dietitian, they can't qualify for some things they want to qualify for. They probably can't get employed the way they want to get employed and so forth. And if the board says this person is not a licensed dietitian, doesn't meet the qualification, and hasn't paid the license fee or whatever, that person then is not qualified. You just have to do that. Now, I suppose maybe some boards do have the ability to go to the Attorney General or go to law enforcement have that happen. Have a penalty of some kind that's enforced through the laws. But that's not the way it works for many of them, is it?
Well,
How does it work for many of them?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trout, the way it works is that most of the boards are licensing boards. And what this board is a registration board. And most of the other boards that I can think of, I think clinical social workers provides registration.
This is a license.
We're talking about a licensed dietitian. I hope we're not talking about registered dietitian.
But I think that licensing is voluntary on the part of the person. Is that true, Jody?
Absolutely. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in some ways it's a horse of a different color. It is licensing. It is voluntary licensing. Voluntary licensing has been adopted in a number of states for dietitians. This may be, I don't know if there's another voluntary licensing.
Whatever the language is, all this does is to prohibit the use of the term dietitian if you are not licensed. But the question is, so what?
Well, Mr. Chair, what I think, in fact, will happen, we are not seeking civil penalties. We were certainly not seeking criminal penalties, and in fact did not know we had them in the initial bill. What we are seeking, basically, is a way of identifying dietitians as having accomplished a certain scope of practice and a certain scope of education.
What if I say I'm a dietitian? Have you identified whether or not I am qualified?
No. If you hold out a sign that says I am Senator Frank Roberts, LD, we can say, are you registered with a board? Have you met these certain qualifications?
And I say, no, I'm not.
Then you are, in fact, not a licensed dietitian. And
yeah, but
the board,
I can still hang up the sign.
Yes, you can. The board can then send out a letter to either your employer. They could send out a letter to some of your clients. I think they would do it by way of communication. That may not be much of a hammer. I think in practice, the way it will probably work is that an employer, a prospective employer, looking for a dietitian will call the board of dietitians and say, is this person licensed? Have they finished a scope of practice or a scope of education? And the board will work as not necessarily a referral, but they will say, yes, they have met these qualifications.
Okay, I understand.
And honestly, that is all that they are looking for.
If it doesn't work that way, they can come back maybe and ask for some enforcement authority.
Okay. So it's perfectly clear that with the amendments here, there is no penalty for violating this act, unless you are licensed. The penalty if you're licensed, if you violate the act, I don't know what the violation would be, you could have your license pulled.
Well, they have the authority to write administrative rules because they're under the administrative rule procedures, really, in 183, 310 to 500, which means that you could really, if you wanted to, you could list certain kinds of sanctions in there as administrative rule, is the way I read it, because they'd have rulemaking authority. And if you wanted to say we're going to put an ad in the newspaper as a penalty that you're not a licensed dietitian, you could do so under that, as long as you have a public hearing on your rule.
Sure. Chair, I think it would be interesting to hear from the health division about the other boards and how they do, in fact, enforce. Can you help us with that?
Mr. Chairman, members, Art Cowell, the health division. They work differently, Senator Troll, and I should have brought along, but we have two sort of boilerplate types of statutes, one of which attaches them to the health division, mm-hmm. one of which makes them a quasi-freestanding. Mm-hmm. I'm terribly sorry, but I don't recall the issue coming up on the sanction that you're addressing here before, and I can certainly find that out.
Okay. Well, if you don't know,
that's okay.
I remember something about this, but it may have had to do with this same bill 2 years ago.
Well, I know, some boards and commissions, we clearly in the statute give them the right to assess civil penalties. And there's a process for doing that, and they can assess them and so forth. We haven't authorized this board or commission to do that. I don't remember many of them having the language that's in this bill that we're taking out that said that it's a Class B misdemeanor when they violate the thing. I don't think that's done very often.
Any questions about any of the other proposed amendments here? I thought we might get these out of the way first. Any objection to these amendments? If there's no objection, then the A4 amendments are adopted. All right. Now we have the
matter of money.
Section 19. Do you have some comments from Department of Health again with reference to matter of money?
Mr. Chair, along that line, I guess I'd like to know how we got from 20,000 down to 10. Yeah. It looks like the sheet I've got before. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
or you want to wait and do that later? That's fine.
Say that.
Oh, changed the
well, let's see what the proposals are in front of us.
They probably wouldn't say their license
Fine. Let's look first at the budget, and then we'll look at how to finance
our
lives. I don't think they're effective anyway. Excuse me, what did you say?
Well, she's going to bring us in a copy of the budget, so we'll see how we got it. Budget, okay. And then we'll see how to finance it.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
The financing is in two parts. One is the fee structure, and the second part is the cash flow part of the loan. Wait for that. Well, while we're waiting here, the original bill on page 4 of the engrossed bill proposed a general fund appropriation, a blank amount, with this fund to be reimbursed to the general fund from the fees that were raised. There is now floating the concept that it might very well be possible for this money to be floated out of the health department's budget as a loan.
Wow.
Is that a good idea?
So that it wouldn't have to break the expenditure limitation with this $10,000.
Now, is this education or human resources? I'm getting real confused.
Yeah, right.
This is serious comment.
This is education.
Okay. This is a serious comment.
This is serious comment. Right. It's in the health department, and it would be a loan.
For the first year.
And for the first year. And so it should not require any problems in the budget, since we're making a biennial appropriation to the health department, and this would be paid back.
Mr. Chairman, Art Kyle again, Health Division. I know we have advanced boards that have been set up the $20,000 fund. I have not heard from our people. Perhaps staff has.
We may have to pursue that a little further, but
be happy to do that.
That might be a very possible and reasonable one, especially here. I think you've recomputed it. You assume that all we need is $10,000 in cash.
Mr. Chair, may I ask? I would like to assume that whatever we're negotiating here won't have any impact on the budget, which I'm hearing.
No impact
on
the budget.
It's
just a cash flow problem. It would be advancing in the first year of the biennium some of the money that they would need
paper
in the secretary.
Yeah.
So we're not
clarification on the record.
Have we got this back yet? We're waiting for it.
We're very jumpy.
Let me make a very interesting one, Nancy, that I saw this morning.
We should have been on our side this morning.
There is a bill that's passed out of the out of Human Resources, House Human Resources Committee, which would provide for a early intervention parent education program for high risk children. Mm-hmm. And this would be financed by an appropriation from the fund set aside for the pre-kindergarten program in the Department of Education.
As long as you get it, Frank.
It's the darndest thing I ever saw before.
I think we had a lot of bills go back and forth between two committees.
Yeah, we now appropriate out of CSD $1,500,000.
Out of basic education.
Don't laugh. There may be some of those coming. Well, you were the one that was proposing.
Few of them, yes, that sounded good to me.
He was proposing taking something out of basic
school
support and put it into human resources. That's where they got the idea, I guess.
Well, we're all working on the same team, you know.
You put your hat on in the afternoon and you move it back out of education into human resources.
On this we're going to have some questions I'm asking.
Yes, first we're going to look at the budget, how they arrived at the budget.
Okay.
And then we're going to look at the
proposed
fee schedule. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to comment now, Carl, on the budget?
Sure. Mr. Chair, members, what we did was we worked with the Health Division. I pulled out all the budget detail of the other small health-related boards. There is a board that has a 0.20 FTE, the Sanitarians Registration Board, and which basically all it does is register sanitarians, and it doesn't take action against any of its licensees. It does not have a hammer, but it operates. And so
except they are largely public employees, aren't they?
You're absolutely right.
And to meet the requirements of water systems, mm-hmm, and so forth, they have to be registered. Okay.
And there's the hammer of the job.
Right.
So what we did was we worked with the Health Division and the dietitians group, and they estimated that they didn't think they would require any more than a 0.3 staff person in the office. And this also allows for the possibility that this board could be hooked up with a board that has 0.5 or 0.65 or 0.7 FTE, of which there are a couple, and share a staff person for two boards. But what you'll find in front of you on the first page, we've built an 18-month budget, a 21-month budget, and a 24-month budget. The dietitians group was real concerned that they minimize the expenses so that they could establish their accountability and get people excited about becoming registered, and at the same time not drain on the general fund or not require great expenditures. So that was the starting place. If we had an 18-month, and again, your analyst recommended an 18-month program for the first biennium, which would start January of 90. And you'll see the figures laid out for you in the S&S categories. I think they pretty much speak for themselves.
Carl, why a voluntary board that's not going to take any action, why do you need Attorney General?
Mr. Chair, Representative Van Vliet, rulemaking. We assume 10 hours rulemaking. And that's probably fluffy. Pardon the jargon.
That's a good word.
Technical word. I got your tennis shoes on today.
We haven't been using that enough in our budget.
We don't have too much fluff.
The figure is $2.5 million, but maybe that's a little fluffy.
We'll get that on some of those papers. We'll fight over 620 and go down with millions.
I pretty much stated what the assumptions on the second page. It talks to you about what the assumptions are. Most of the other boards have a management assistant. That's the classification that's assigned to the person who works for these boards. And that the second step is $1,809. As with the policy of the other small agencies of five or less FTE, we fully funded merit increases for this 0.3 person. And you'll find that included in the personal services. You'll also notice that per diem is based, if you look at an 18-month budget, we're talking about 5 meetings. And you'll notice the OPE on the per diem on page 2.
Under service and supplies, you gave it at $50 per meeting per member, and over here it says 30.
Mr. Chair, what that is per diem is the amount of stipend that board members receive in lieu of compensation, and that's fixed at $30 per day.
Okay.
The in-state travel accounts for
I'm sorry, yeah.
meals and traveling expenses.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Carla, did you sit down and figure out how much you would have to expend bottom line to get started? The hope and expectation here is that the folks will volunteer to register. If they don't, you're going to be in the red. The other question is, if your expectations just don't live up to it, do you have a sunset provision which says if we don't get these folks in and take care of that debt in that first two-year period, then it really shows that there isn't the interest for the professional dietitian out there. Did you think about that at all? Because I wonder if you want to hold any meetings or spend very much money until you get those first batch of people in that pays for the $10,000 to get rolling.
Mr. Chair, Representative Peterson?
No.
Hey, yes, switch the size of the name.
Pecking order is different.
I keep doing this. Tony and I just shift places.
It's all right. I don't have my dress on today. I'm not a drag.
We serve on two committees together, so we get confused. Right.
In the morning, I sit here and he sits here.
And at the end of the session, you'll begin to look alike.
Put up in self-mansion.
I'd like to ask Sonia Conner to come up and talk to that. She did the research on what the experience for voluntary licensure has been. Could you?